This episode is brought to you by FinditNWA.com, your hyper-local business directory connecting you with the best of Northwest Arkansas. Whether you're looking for a new place to eat, a trusted service provider, or unique local shops, FinditNWA has you covered. We also highlight businesses with a featured listing on the site. That means if you're a small business owner in NWA, you could be next. Discover more at FinditNWA.com.
Hey, folks, and welcome to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast where we explore the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life here in the Ozarks. Today's episode touches all of those themes through the lens of community art, healing, and resilience. We're joined by Monica Moore, a multidisciplinary artist based right here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, whose project, the COVID Hearts Project, transforms loss into remembrance and creativity into connection. This large-scale public memorial made of thousands of paper hearts honors the over 13,000 lives lost to COVID-19 right here in Arkansas. Monica shares her journey from digital photography to mixed media, how she turned grief into art, and why this project has become a grassroots movement for healing across Northwest Arkansas and beyond.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Without further ado, here's our fearless host, Randy Wilburn.
Monica, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks.
Good. I'm doing good. Well, I'm certainly honored to have you on the podcast, and I would be remiss if I didn't give my dear friend Shelley Muber a shout out for introducing us and making this connection happen. Shelley is amazing, and I'm very thankful that she came into my life a couple of years ago. She was on the podcast. It's the only podcast title that I've had the words Wu-Tang Clan in it, so there's something about Shelley that's just really special, and to know her is to love her. So I appreciate her pulling this together. I'd love for you just to maybe give a quick introduction of yourself and a little bit about your background, and then I want to get into your creative and professional journey.
I am originally from Springfield, Missouri. I grew up in Springfield and lived there until the middle of my junior year in high school when I moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and attended high school for the last year and a half of my high school education. I went to UCA for a semester for undergrad and then transferred back to Fort Smith and eventually found my way to the University of Arkansas in 1991. I have a background in the field of communication. And I've done some different things professionally, mainly in higher education for a good deal of my lifetime. And then thought education was really exciting and important and went back to school to the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities and tried my hand at PhD studies. I was working on a dissertation that revolved around Martha Stewart's first cookbook called Entertaining. She inspired a lot of the things that turned into art and artistry for me. In higher ed, I worked at the University of Arkansas for a number of years in advising roles.
So where would you say that your path as an artist began in terms of learning different media styles and photography? You went into mixed media. How did that evolution unfold?
So I started as an amateur photographer. I was working with 35 millimeter film. People were encouraging me. They thought I had a good eye. I was just taking a lot of photographs. And eventually, friends said, "You're spending too much money developing all of your photographs." And so I got a digital camera And that allowed me to play quite a lot. I would load my photos onto my computer and found an editor that allowed me to push the boundaries of what I could see in terms of mainly flowers and botanicals. The digital camera helped me explore color, form, and shape. A flower is something really otherworldly in many ways. I'm not a trained artist. I took an art studio class after I completed my master's degree. It was just a basic course, but I have some gift where I can draw, and I started using pastels, oil pastels, and I would draw what I saw in those digital images that I had edited. I do a lot of rubbing with my oil pastel. So a warm day is a great day for me because it really moves around on the canvas. So, but I mentioned Martha Stewart. While I was in Minnesota, I was keying into her valuation of saving things and seeing things that used to be a fad, but you kind of put them behind you. And I found some old vintage sheets in a secondhand store in Minnesota that I like to go to. Years later, I had a huge collection of sheets, and I thought those patterns were so beautiful, and I wanted to do something with them to preserve their beauty. And so I used acrylic paints on the sheet. So I frame a composition similar to digital photography, moving from picture of a flower to editing it, bringing out some unusual colors with the sheets and the acrylic paintings. It's asking people to see something that's easily overlooked. It becomes everyday or quotidian, and showing the beauty. During the pandemic, I started making collages out of screenshots. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, we saw all kinds of tributes to her flood our screens, and I would take a screenshot and make a collage. And I did that with different things that were moving me at the time. But I was also working with paper, folding origami paper into envelopes. I couldn't quite master the crane, but I eventually migrated over to fashion catalogs. There's so much beauty in these fashion catalogs that I was kind of collecting or hoarding, my husband would say. I wanted to preserve them. It's hard for me to discard those things because they're so beautiful and I see the artistry and appreciate it. I wanted to find a way to use it artistically. The evolution, it turned out that I started cutting paper hearts and used those paper hearts and now what are recycled paper collages that are becoming part of a memorial to the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly in Arkansas.
Yeah. Was there a specific moment that you can recall where a light bulb went off in your head as you were creating this artwork that you could actually repurpose it for this COVID Hearts project? What specifically was the spark behind the COVID Hearts project, outside of the fact that you had a lot of this material around the house and you were trying out different things during the pandemic? What was the one thing that you could point to and say, this was really where the true genesis was of the COVID Hearts project?
I feel like it's two things. It's very instrumental for people to know that I was working with pre-med students at the University of Arkansas at the time, spring of 2020 and going forward for a while. I felt a huge sense of grief and I knew the struggle was real. I could see it. I was in contact with physicians and other healthcare providers. It was an important moment. I could really feel it. I was hearing about it. And as I was cutting hearts, just trying to figure out what am I going to do with these, I remember sort of a trip to Japan when I was a sophomore in high school. We learned in 3 weeks of summer school before the study abroad excursion that children fold cranes as a way to remember a tragedy. And as I was cutting the hearts, I thought, we need to do something like that here. Maybe these hearts could be something like that, where people get their bodies engaged in the act of cutting the hearts. It preserves the memory and the history of the event that you doesn't need to be forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful. I, you know, as a kid, I remember trying out origami, and I actually got this book, and the book came with all this beautiful paper, and I probably made it down, you know, and it would, the book gave you like the step-by-step guide on how to make it. It starts off with like really simple origami designs to the much more technical and skilled origami designs that really require patience. And well, I would say patience, something that I lack at times. But I remember that book, and I would say that book probably had 150 sheets of origami paper in it. Maybe I used 5 or 6, and I think I gave it up after that. I actually think I still have the book. Now you make me want to go back and crack it open again. But yeah, I've always had an affinity for origami art, just not an affinity for the practice of origami art. There is a difference.
It's a fine art.
Yes, it is.
And it got challenging for me too. So I made little envelopes and put gift cards in them. We weren't gathering for Christmas at that time.
You've spoken about the influence of consumer culture in your work. How did that tie into using fashion magazines and lifestyle ads as some of your raw material?
Consumer culture, my interest in understanding the role that consumer culture plays in our lives, and material culture. That was part of what I was looking into when I thought I was going to become a scholar. Material culture, it says things about who we are. It keeps us dreaming. You know, those fashion magazines certainly do. There was a tension in me that emerged when it felt like I was getting piles and piles of these catalogs in the mailbox during the pandemic. The tension was, do we just go on and behave as if everything is kind of normal or happy or better than what it really was, what we were experiencing?
It seemed like that's what culture wanted us to do, right? Like some things were as if there was nothing else going on, that there wasn't a pandemic, that people weren't stuck in their homes. Yet and still, a lot of the marketing that was out there was if everything was normal. And I think that was a disconnect in terms of how we were marketed to, and also how the different stores and companies thought of the consumer. I found that to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because the messages were conflicting. Yeah. And so I want people to think about this COVID memorial. This material is definitely asking us to recall what you just described. There was less an ask for sacrificing unless you were on the front lines. You had to be sacrificing daily. And then we're not really being asked to sacrifice. We're asked to sort of go on, like you said, as if everything is normal. And it wasn't.
No, I felt like that then. I sometimes feel like that now, but that's a whole nother story. So, but I think, you know, I think it's hard sometimes to reconcile the reality of things. You said it. Every night that I watched the news during the pandemic, I could only imagine what those on the front line were going through, because I really wasn't exposed to that. Yes, I was stuck at my home. I couldn't go out and do as much as I normally do. I couldn't freely breathe because I always had a mask on, which, you know, it is what it is. I'm thankful that I'm still healthy and I didn't get long COVID and I didn't die from COVID-19. So, I mean, there's just a lot of aspects of it that I'm extremely thankful for, but it was a challenging time for a lot of people. And I think we've all developed ways to cope with those memories from the late winter, early spring of 2020 until things started opening up again? And right. I don't think any one of us is ever going to be the same that lived through that period of time based on the experiences that we had when we were quarantined.
Right. It's not uncommon to hear or to read about or hear, if you're listening, you know, to your radio broadcast news or reading online. The pandemic is still, it's still with us. There are young kiddos who face deficits even still. And, you know, right. It's marked us definitely. You talk about coping. Some folks who've seen the exhibit admit that their coping is to push the memory down, to push them away. Then they see the memorial and it revives all of those things they wanted to turn away from. A lot of times they had to turn away from it to cope, just like you said.
It's like you reopened an old wound, right? It's amazing how art can actually do that to you. Just the experience of art can reopen old wounds or, you know, bring, you know, new ideas, new memory, you know, just a level of thought and introspection that not every form of media can do. So I think that's something powerful in the eye of the beholder when you share with them a really cool work of art. One thing that I am curious about in going through this project, the COVID Hearts project, how has this project grown beyond what was initially a personal response into the community-wide experience? I'm curious to know how you have managed that. And did you expect to get the response that you've received, something that initially was more personal for you that has become truly public?
Right. I first asked for help in September of 2022. I went on Facebook. That was my way of connecting with folks. And I got, you know, first I got one person who said, count me in. I want to participate. And, I, you know, my husband was like, you are going to get flooded with offers. I got one, but it was right away. That person ended up cutting 2,000 hearts. And wow. Submitting them. I had four other volunteers after that. And I increased my volunteers by 100%. So I was doing good. What happened because of the volunteers who contributed hearts is it really did turn the project into something I hadn't seen when I was just cutting hearts and using one heart for every death. That was the goal. I didn't know what the artistic vision that I would realize could be until people submitted their hearts. Because of one particular group of hearts that were donated, I came to find my way to the collage quilt style that you see in the memorial. It grew initially because people said, I want to cut hearts. I want to donate. I want to get involved. I feel like I need to do something. The pandemic was still with us. The public health emergency was going on at that time. It grew by getting people to participate and come along on this journey. It grew artistically in my mind about what was possible. I was able to partner with Lifestyles Inc., Blair Center, mm-hmm. back in the spring, and I shared some of my future goals about how I wanted to connect with communities around Arkansas and get people to participate. They participated in ways that, you know, how has it grown in ways you didn't imagine? Adult clients with developmental disabilities that they serve at Lifestyles Inc., they made their own individual representations of their experience of the pandemic. We had a whole exhibit that featured that work. We also collaborated on a panel that will become part of a future frame that will be part of the proper memorial that we're building out. And so that's one way, that's another way And we, you know, I have folks around me who really believe in my work. My husband thought we should start a nonprofit. It's been a journey since March of 25. We've been working towards our nonprofit status. It's called the Hearts Project Foundation. I have a board and they believe in this work and know that it's important. That's another sign of growth that I certainly didn't see when I first started cutting out hearts in solitude.
I know you've had a number of local organizations come alongside of you, some schools, other nonprofits sparked some ideas in your head. I'd be curious to talk about the role that some of those different organizations have played and have helped you as you move this thing further along.
Lifestyles is primarily one of the nonprofits that I have worked with. One business organization that I've worked with is Moxie Printing in Springdale. There is one component of this art project that we're committed to, which is giving free information to patrons who come and see the exhibit. I work with Moxie Graphic Design, and we have what people might consider a zine that features some of the artwork that is part of the memorial or some of what the adults with developmental disabilities created at Lifestyles. I've also worked with Likewise Community and Co-working Space. We had an open house in their studio level, and Mallory Berry, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to visit with her. She's the founder of Likewise, but she also is very supportive and encouraging. We've used that space as a workspace when we were building some of the project's framework early on.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, what do you find interesting about the reaction and response that you get from some of the Northwest Arkansas audiences? Has it opened up conversations about grief, healing, or even public health?
I mentioned one person who was a mental health nurse provider during the pandemic. She saw the exhibit and said, "This is something I didn't know I needed." And tears were part of that conversation. This Northwest Arkansas resident friend of mine considered herself a second line worker. Grief is definitely part of this experience, and it is not unusual for people to come to tears. Not everyone, but that certainly can come into play when I'm interacting with folks. I had a chance to hear from physicians anonymously who wanted to share their story. I visited with other types of professionals working in healthcare who wanted to share their story. If you're familiar with the art project, we do have a frame dedicated to healthcare workers, healthcare professionals of all stripes. The story grows out of my work with the pre-med population, but also, you know, the physicians I had connected with and the professionals. And they think it's important. They want others to know about the struggles they experience. I couldn't tell some of the stories that people read when they see the exhibit or when they pick up the pamphlet that is complimentary, that expands on what they're viewing and learning, without these individuals who want to share their stories with me.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine that. Your program allows some people to unpack some of what they experienced during that time, especially those that were on the front line, as you indicated. And I appreciate you sharing the story of that healthcare worker that really had a chance to exhale as they experienced your project. When you think of this project, it kind of lives at the intersection of art, a little bit of education, and public memory. How have you, as the artist, balanced the creative side with organizing, logistics, and the partnerships that you've had to bring together to bring this thing to the public?
How have I balanced those things?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great question. You have to be organized. Sometimes you have to be willing to sacrifice one thing so that you can focus on another. Asking for help is definitely a way to balance, but also keep moving forward. You call on some of those skills that you develop from other times in your life. I can hear the voice of someone I know who says, you need a good balance, Monica. You don't need to do, you know, all of the coordination and trying to find exhibits and trying to do the public relations and, you know, taking care of the accounting side of things. You still want to be engaged in the art too, but you can't have the art and push it forward without doing these other things. So you prioritize according to what's the next step, what's the next major move we need to make right now. And then you make that, and then you open up some space for the art to come back into play.
Well, it does make sense, and I totally get it, because I've had a chance to talk to a lot of other people that have been in your position and are in your shoes with whatever they are focusing on and trying to bring to the public. I do have a loaded question for you. Do you think this is something that you could have pulled off someplace else other than Northwest Arkansas, or has Northwest Arkansas been kind of the best canvas for you to do a project like this?
That's a good question. I will say that the project debuted at the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum in July of 2024. I have some strong support coming from Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas. I don't know. I think sometimes it is where you're planted. Just as a result of the different experiences that I had in my career over time, led me around to working with professionals who I had actually advised as students at the University of Arkansas.
I hear from other people that are in your position or have created something, and they feel like that because of the environment that Northwest Arkansas provides for artists, there are so many different levels of support in their endeavors that it makes it easier. So that's kind of what I meant by it being a loaded question. I've had more than one artist on this podcast that has talked about their creation and their creativity and what they were sharing with the world, and how because they were doing it in Northwest Arkansas, it actually made it easier for them to do that. I find interesting, right? Because you wouldn't typically think of Northwest Arkansas as that backdrop for creativity. Now, if you said to me, hey, I've got some logistics stuff that I'm working on, or I've got a project that I think is going to take the world by storm, I could get behind that right away and be like, yeah, that makes sense if you're going to do that in Northwest Arkansas. But you don't think of the artist community, the creator community, in conjunction with Northwest Arkansas. However, you do now. And that's my point, is that this has become a place where stories like yours are more commonplace than they were maybe even 10 or 15 years ago.
First of all, I'm more of a reclusive kind of artist, but Shelley Mober, who you mentioned earlier, I'm learning of the electricity in the air that has to do with the art community in this space. And you know what I'm excited about? I lived in Minneapolis for a while, and that's kind of a hub for creativity and music and art, and they're pushing the envelope in many ways. I'm really excited that my work, where you're taking small paper hearts made out of consumer print advertisements, is something that can play in Northwest Arkansas. It is definitely attached to the COVID-19 pandemic, so that matters a lot. But the material that we've chosen for the memorial, you know, I think Northwest Arkansas is definitely joining the ranks of some progressive art communities. The Medium up in Springdale, you know, I'll be exhibiting there in October of 2026. But, you know, I went and met with Thalia. She'd heard the broadcast that was on KUAF when we were at the Fayetteville Public Library, and she was listening to it on her commute to work, she said, I just had tears because what I was saying really resonated with her and the experience she had with her kiddos and what they were struggling with when they were in junior high during the pandemic. But yes, I think Northwest Arkansas definitely is welcoming this project, and I'm very grateful for that.
So at the time that we're recording this, where can people see this exhibit?
Right now, it's at Northwest Arkansas Community College in the Shoemaker Center for Workforce Technologies, then the Walmart Auditorium.
Yeah, that's at NWAC up in
Bentonville.
Yeah, okay, perfect. And then the next place it will be after this is where?
So it will go to Likewise Community and Co-working Space. So February 20th, it'll be back in that space. And that's, you know, people, if they wanted to see the work at Likewise, they could schedule a tour to go see that space, but also see the artwork. We actually have an exhibit debuting our next frame at the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum in January. The opening reception is January 16th. And we're incorporating some smaller pieces related to pandemic education and a few select works from the Lifestyles, Inc. collaborative artworks made in the spring.
Well, you got a lot planned coming up in the next few months. So whether somebody's listening now or in the future, they can easily visit the website to learn more about what you guys are doing and where you guys are located. Is that correct?
Our website is theheartsproject.com.
The Hearts?
Yes.
Yes, The Hearts Project.
Yes.
Yes. All right, we'll be sure to put that in the show notes so people can access that. I've got one final question for you. What advice would you offer other creatives in Northwest Arkansas looking to make a cultural impact through their work, somewhat in the same way that you've done with your work?
I think trusting your imagination. So, you know, trusting yourself, believing in your vision, you know, relying on other people to help support you along the way is really a big thing. Imagination is key. Finding or allowing yourself that space, devoting time to imagine and create. And, you know, just find whatever it is that motivates you, what messages you want to put out there into the world, and just stay at it.
Yeah, and I think that's really good advice. And I think because of what your project represents too, the one word that comes to mind is resilience. This is definitely one of many ways that art can help support public well-being. I applaud you for stepping out in faith in doing this project and for the feedback and response you have received. I'm encouraged by it. I hope those that listen to this podcast episode get out to check out the COVID Hearts Project and learn more about you, your artwork, and the focus of this project and what it represents, especially the lives lost during COVID-19. I think sometimes it's lost on people that it was actually a pandemic. A lot of people died, like a lot. And so I think we forget that. And your artwork is serving as a reminder that we shouldn't just casually dust this under the rug and move on as if life is presenting new opportunities for us. It is, but we are the sum total of our experiences in life. And one of those, for those of us that are older than a certain age, was going through and enduring a great pandemic, the last of which saw millions of lives lost around the world. I applaud you for taking a very difficult subject and a very difficult story and bringing it to life in a medium that allows us to appreciate the challenges that we face and know that there is hope for the future.
Well, thank you. The lives that were lost were beautiful lives.
Yeah.
It's easy to just think of them as a statistic, and I want to honor the beauty that we lost, for sure. We can do that through the beauty of art.
Monica Moore, I really appreciate you taking time to join us on this special episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Again, I want to remind people that they can go to www.theheartsproject.com to check out this project. We will make sure that we put all this information in the show notes and ways for you to reach out and connect with Monica. We certainly want to encourage you to support Monica and her team's efforts and the work that they're doing here in Northwest Arkansas. So Monica, we thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate this time.
Monica Moore's work stands as a powerful reminder that creativity isn't just about making, it's about meaning. The COVID Hearts Project is a moving example of how art can memorialize, mobilize, and humanize our shared experiences. In a region like Northwest Arkansas, where culture, community, and innovation intersect, this kind of work matters deeply. If you'd like to learn more or see the project in action, visit theheartsproject.com. Remember, that's hearts with an S. Monica, thank you again for reminding us that even in grief, there's beauty and purpose in connection. I'm Randy Wilburn, and this has been another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. We'll see you back here next week. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.